There are a lot of complex and confusing subjects in the world today, aren't there? I learned one today in Sunday school, vortex math. Who knew? I had no idea. Learned a lot this morning. Quantum theory. If you've done any study of quantum theory, you'll know the experts say, we don't know how it works. We just know that there are some certain things we can measure that do work. String theory. Like, well, that seems to be going out the door now. We used to think that that was going to help define reality for us. But it seems to be leaving. How about just consciousness? Still trying to figure that one out. Hey, here's one that's probably the most complex of all. Human behavior. Got a lot of amens on that one. Friends, even psychiatry and psychology today, lots of debate about what's going on and how things work. And maybe the one that is the most confusing and creates the most debate is the subject of depression. It's amazing to even hear the different definitions for depression. Do we even know what it is? Is there a difference between just being low and being depressed? Is there a difference between depression and clinical depression? I found out this last week. There's no difference. I heard a psychiatrist say it. Not even really such a thing. I think what most people have meant by it is just that you've been diagnosed with depression versus you just decided you're depressed. A lot said about depression today, and hard to really sort a lot of it out. Did you know that that God talks about depression? Way before Prozac, way before Zoloft, way before Paxil, God actually has something to say about depression. What does he have to say about it? Maybe more importantly, would you like his help? The title of the sermon this morning is Depression, Is Your Brain Broken? Got some amens on that one too. It's amazing to hear some of the things that are coming out today. What the professional environment is saying about the brain. And this morning, I want to do everything I can to help us think clearly, to think biblically, and to even just keep up with the latest of what's going on. But before we do any of that, how about we ask God for his help? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning that we have a chance to once again look at your word and think about life and consider what you've already said about it. I know, Lord, that's what I'm more concerned about than anything else, is that I get your heart, your thinking, and your principles. And so would you please help us this morning to see truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start with some personal disclaimers. Disclaimer number one, I am not a medical doctor. Disclaimer number two, neither are you. So we're probably kind of at a loss in some ways. We've got to depend on other people to even understand what's the latest today in clinical spaces and trying to understand what's going on. And so what's difficult is that even if we were medical doctors, it doesn't mean we're chemists, and it doesn't mean that we're research scientists. And even if we were, guess what? Nobody knows how the human brain works. We just have some models that we follow that help us determine certain outcomes, but we really, really don't understand it. Now, we've got two nurses in our congregation, Anna and Amy, and they're probably pretty close to being able to help us with a lot of these things, but it's kind of fun as I'm looking back here at Anna, and she's got a big smile on her face going, she's going to quickly tell you anyway, I study cardiology. You can have that brain stuff, man, right? I'm going to say some things this morning that are going to create a wide array of responses. Some of you are going to say, I knew it! I knew it! Some of you are going to say, I had no idea. And some of you are going to say, Marvin, I don't believe you. And you know what's really cool? I'm prepared for all of that and more. And if we disagree, I'm good with that. It's not a big deal. But I think that most of us this morning would want to at least take the time to consider some things that might be helpful to us. instead of having some emotional response because we don't agree with something that was said. Hey, just take it easy. Look, this morning when Larry started teaching Sunday school, I thought, what is this crackpot teaching now? What is going on? And the longer it went, the more my jaw sagged as I went, oh my goodness, this is fascinating. And then I pulled out my phone to check him on some of this, and I'm going, oh man, there is a whole world of study associated with vortex math, and I've never even heard of it. Blown away. Now I got one more thing to study. What a great morning. You missed out if you didn't make it to Sunday school this morning. It was fascinating. Look, I want to make it clear, I am not taking a medical position this morning. You might think I am. I am not taking a medical position. But I want you to know what's going on in the medical community, first of all. And secondly, I want you to know what God has to say about it. Because what he says matters, doesn't it? No matter what the rest of the world has to say about depression. Let me give you a little medical history first. Prior to the 1990s, we believed that depression was due to a response to bad situations. We saw it as a very simple thing. People get depressed because of things that happen in their lives, and it's a reaction to those difficult things. Since the 1990s, we've had the idea that depression is due to a lack of serotonin or a chemical imbalance in the brain, right? That's the one we who don't know anything like to say, well, it's a chemical imbalance, and that's, you know, we just say that our crazy family members, they got a chemical imbalance, right? So we just accept it. That's what's going on. Oh, that got personal. Some people started looking at each other. Okay. Dr. Joanna Moncrief is a British psychiatrist and academic and a professor of critical and social psychiatry at the University of London. And she said that this idea of a brain chemical deficiency actually started in the 1960s, but it wasn't widely accepted at that time. And so she also said that it was in the 1990s that the pharmaceutical companies started making medications to deal with what they saw is a deficiency in serotonin and went on an international campaign to make sure that everybody understood that we believe it's serotonin and here's what we think could help because it helps some people. In 2022, Dr. Moncrief and her associates published a review of the studies that had been done on this subject, and she said that they looked at everything. And she says that there is, quote, no good evidence that low serotonin causes depression. In her review, she found some studies that said that people with low serotonin had depression. Other studies said that people with normal levels of serotonin had depression. And still other studies more that said people with high amounts of serotonin had depression. Fascinating. In February of 2024, Moncrief and her associates said, quote, difficult lives explain depression better than broken brains. Now, friends, you should be encouraged by that. You should be very encouraged by that. That means you got a chance. If she's right, and I'm not taking a position because I don't know, but if she's right, then maybe there's another way to deal with depression that you could try instead of taking more Prozac. Also in February of 2024, Drs. Danilo Arnon, Toby Wise, Paul Fitzgerald, and Catherine Harmer said this, quote, the notion that a simplistic serotonin model of depression suggesting that a reduction in serotonergic activity fully explains the complex nature of this heterogeneous condition, has been discarded by experts in the field for some time. Now, that alone is fascinating to me. If that's the case, if the experts have discarded this for some time now, why didn't I know about it? Friends, there's a lot of money involved in this. A lot of money. Whether it's right or wrong, whether we understand it or don't, there's still a lot of money involved. And we're not talking about just buying Zoloft one time. We're talking about buying Zoloft the rest of your life, right? So it does just make you wonder when experts in the field are saying something else. Dr. Nasir Ghami is a psychiatrist and researcher specializing in depression and bipolar illness. He's a professor of psychology at Tufts Medical Center in Boston and a clinical lecturer at Harvard Medical College. He wrote an article in Psychology Today dated October 1st, 2022, titled, "Has the Serotonin Hypothesis Been Debunked?" Here's what he says, quote, "The serotonin hypothesis of depression, popular from the 1990s until now, is false and has been known to be false for a long time and never was proven to begin with. The same holds for the dopamine hypothesis of schizophrenia, which began in the 1960s and 70s, and more generally for the chemical imbalance metaphor for all mental illness." End quote. Later on, he says this, quote, "By depression, these studies usually mean DSM-defined major depressive disorder, MDD. In case you're not familiar, DSM is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual on Mental Disease. And that's where a lot of these things are laid out so that we can understand what are at least the symptoms associated with different disorders. So he says, almost all studies of the last 40 years find that no biological marker correlates with most DSM diagnoses, with important exceptions in schizophrenia and bipolar illness. So he says basically, schizophrenia and bipolar, there are biological markers there. There are studies done scientifically to determine these things. But then he says, the problem is that DSM diagnoses are not biologically valid because they're not scientifically based. They're not based solely on scientific evidence, but rather are social constructions of the American psychiatric profession." That's a psychiatrist who says that. And these are just a few that I came across. I heard Dr. Moncrief on a podcast recently, which caused me to dig in a little more and see what I could find out. Why do so many people believe the serotonin theory if you've got that many experts saying it's not true? Well, let me tell you, obviously, first of all, because we have to trust our doctors. We don't know, right? I mean, how would we know? We've not studied in this field. So it's very difficult. We have to trust them. But secondly, as I've already said, there's a lot of money and industry involved in this. What causes depression? And is it even important? Well, let me tell you, first of all, you cannot determine a solution if you don't understand the problem. As an IT professional, I dealt with this all the time. Get a phone call. Wi-Fi's down. Go up there. Wi-Fi's not down. Wi-Fi's running fine. Well, I can't get connected to the internet. Well, maybe the internet service provider on the other end is down. Maybe your Wi-Fi card is broken, but Wi-Fi's working. And people do this all the time. Well, it was Wi-Fi last time. Well, that doesn't mean that's Wi-Fi this time. You can't provide a solution if you don't understand the problem. In 2021, I taught a class on Wednesday night. Some of you were there. Talked about depression and anxiety. And one of the things that I shared that night was that anxiety and depression are not something you have. It's not a disease like Down syndrome. It's not something you possess. Anxiety and depression are responses to. Listen, God never makes a disease a moral issue. You understand why that's so important? If a disease can be a moral problem, then I might be able to say, don't be blind. You don't have any control over that, right? You see why this can be such a big deal? I said that in 2021, not knowing what the experts said. I just know biblically it's not possible for a disease to be a moral issue. Just this last month, I was listening to Dr. Moncrief on this podcast, and she said this, quote, "The trouble with that question, what causes depression? The trouble with that question is that it sort of presupposes it's a thing like cancer, and we can target the particular cause. And I would suggest that's the wrong way to think about it. I think depression is a personal stage. It's a type of emotion, a type of feeling. By and large, those reactions and feelings are caused by things that are happening in our lives. They are an understandable reaction to events like relationship difficulties or loss." Friends, again, if she's right, you should be encouraged by that. Because if somebody told you your brain is broken and all we can do is hope that Paxil is going to help you and that's all you've got? But if there's more to it than that, if it is a direct response to the things going on in your life, then you can choose to respond differently. You should be thrilled about that possibility. I'm not sure how many of you know, but OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, used to be one that was heavily, people were heavily medicated to deal with that. And guess what they used? Same thing as the anxiety and depression medications. More SSRIs. Interesting that that's the same drug as to deal with all those different kinds of things. I was watching a program years ago about a lady who was in a home that was working her through her OCD, large facility. She'd gotten up one morning, she was making her bed, and the therapist walked in while she was making the bed, and she had just completed it, and she backed up, and she looked at the bed again, and she reached towards the middle of the bed, and the therapist said, whoa, wait, what are you doing? And she said, well, there's a wrinkle in the middle of the bed. And the therapist said, well, why do you think you need to fix it? She said, because it's not supposed to be there. Amen? Right? Yeah, some of us are going, doggone right, man, we got to fix that thing. Look, there's a lot of, oh man, I wish you could have seen those faces. Yeah. And the therapist said, we're going to leave the wrinkle in the bed all day. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Some of you are wondering if you got a wrinkle in yours at home right now, aren't you? They went about their day. It was time to go to bed. The therapist said, pull the blanket back. Get in bed and cover yourself up. You cannot fix it before you get in. The woman pulled back the sheets, got in, pulled the blankets up. And the therapist said, see, you're still okay. This is referred to as ERP. Exposure and response prevention. Taking people with OCD and forcing them to face the very thing that has them all wrapped around the axle so that they understand how to deal with that and life still be okay. Did you know that God has a therapy also? God has his own therapy program in dealing with depression. Listen, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Life is hard and depression is real. Please, if you didn't hear me, you need to make sure you hear that. I'm not going to read your email if you try to tell me I'm trying to dismiss it. I'm not. It's real. Depression is a real thing. Listen to Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? That was mighty King David who penned that. He dealt with depression. He had his down moments too. Many of them. Scripture is replete with them. Remember Elijah? The mighty prophet Elijah. And when he took off the heads of the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Friends, that's depression. Deep depression. Remember Job? Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. Depression is real. Now, there's a big difference between losing your job and losing a friend, right? Big difference between those things. There's a big difference between getting cancer and getting a divorce. There's a big difference between a child on drugs and a child who rejects Christ. And yet, the solution to all those depressive things is the same. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the solution. I want to do this in two parts for you. Part one, listen to Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Did you get that? Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. That's an amazing way we talk about anxiety today. When I was a kid, we just called it worrying. That's all it is, friends. It's exactly what it is. Some of us are experts, aren't we? Professional worriers. There's not a day that goes by that you don't worry. Stop elbowing each other. Don't shoot. Professional worriers. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Listen to Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one stinking inch to your height? That was the Marvin translation. My apologies. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. I think Christ had a handle on how we operate. That's why he keeps saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, because he knows that's what we're going to do. Is it possible to say that worrying is a sin? Yeah. Do you know why ultimately? Ultimately it means, Jesus, I don't trust you. I don't think this is going to work out the way I want it to, so I'm going to worry about it. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Two primary ways to get a good word. You ready? First of all, the Word of God. I shared this with you last week. It is so important for you to be in the Word of God every day of your life. You are missing out on the good word. But here's the second part. You can also get a good word by hanging out with some good people. Mm-hmm. I don't mean people like you. I mean people who don't worry. I mean people who are positive and happy. Look, if you spend time with Anna and you can't get happy, something's seriously wrong with you. I mean, that girl's just always on her game. I'm like, she's got to be faking it sometimes. You know, I've only known Larry for a couple of years. But every time I've asked him how he's doing, he says, perfectly splendid. Ask Terry how he's doing. And he'll say, I'm doing great. It's a choice. Oh. Oh, it just got real personal now, didn't it? Do you really think you're going to do better by hanging out with you and you alone? If you're already down in the dumps, if you're already depressed, why would you want to stay there? People get so upset with me when I say, where you been? Dead minute church. Do you know that I'm not doing it for me? I'm going to prepare to preach exactly the same way whether you come or not. Do you know why I get on to people for not coming to church? Because it's not good for you not to come to church. That's why. You ought to be here. Yeah, I mean, like every Sunday. Oh, you're the pastor. That's why you're saying that. No, no. I'm saying it because my daddy told me so. Because that's the home I grew up in. And I believed it my entire life. And far before I ever got involved in any form of leadership in a church, I said, I need to be in church every Sunday. Hey, and every Wednesday. Hey, and every time the doors open. Oh, you one of them kind? Yep. One of them kind. One of them kind that believes it actually makes a difference in your life. What causes depression? Anxiety. Worrying. What do you do about it? Go get a good word from someone. Go hang out with some people who can give you a good word. But But I'm not done there. Let me give you the second part of this. You remember the story of Hannah? Remember she couldn't have any kids? And then there was another woman in the house too. I don't know why anybody thought that was a good idea. Two wives, one of them can have kids and the other one can't. And the one who can is poking the one who can't. And so Elkanah, her husband, comes to her. 1 Samuel 1:8. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Really? Really? You really think you're good? That good? Like better than 10 sons? You ain't better than one son." Men. Verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She's weeping, she can't eat, she's in anguish, and she's got a stupid husband. Man. But you know what she did? She kept pouring her heart out to God and pouring her heart out to God, and God stepped in and made the difference. And made the difference before she had a child. Now, I know you thought I would never get there, but Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Look what Jesus says here. He starts off, "Come to me." Friends, you got to get that if you don't get anything else. He is the answer to every problem. Come to me. Stop pursuing your worries. Stop chasing all the solutions this world has to offer. Come to me. I'm the one who made you. I know how you think. I know how you work. Come to me. And then he goes on to say, very specifically who he's talking to, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." You could put, "Come to me, those of you who are depressed. Who are anxious." And look what he says he's going to do. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My guess is there are some people sitting here this morning going, "I have come to him for years, and I am still dealing with the depression, and I don't have any rest." Worry and rest cannot live in the same house. So if you come to Jesus, but you keep worrying, do you think that there's going to be any rest? Look what he says in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I know some of you OCD people were disturbed by the things on the stage this morning. Some of you thought, "Why in the world did anybody leave all this stuff up here?" Well, this is what I think, from a physical perspective, this looks like. You're walking around with all this weight on you, living your life like this all the time, going, "Man, life is heavy. Can't take it anymore. It's too much." Jesus said, "Come to me." Okay. So I come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I can't take this anymore. It's too much." And so he says, "You're not supposed to be carrying all that. What are you doing? Look, you need to trade this in, because my burden is light. It's not all this heavy stuff." And you say, "Lord, I'm very interested in that. I'll be glad to put all this down and be done with it. And this is it? This is the whole thing?" Oh, man, what a difference. And we go to bed without a care in the world. Oh, whew, man, I like this. And we wake up in the morning and we go, "What a great day." Wow, maybe I should think about this a little more and see what I can do about these things that are And Jesus says, why'd you pick it back up? Well, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, but that's not my burden. That's the world's burden. You picked it back up again. Why do you carry all of that? So now you carry the Lord's burden and you think you're in the right place because you came to Jesus, but you picked up all the garbage from the past and said, well, I think I'll hang on to this. And then you wonder, why is it so hard? You still didn't do it the way Jesus told you to. That's why. Listen, worry and rest cannot live in the same house. Do you hear me? You cannot be angry and rest. They oppose each other. You cannot be offended and rest. They can't live with each other. You can't be all wrapped around the axle about somebody who did you wrong and get all defensive and think you can rest. God says, dump all that. Hey, you ready? Ready for this one? Some of you aren't going to like this. You can't try to control your life and rest. Because if you try to control all of this, this is what you end up with. You don't even have a free hand to minister to someone else if it comes along. Because you're so wrapped up in your stuff. And Christ is saying, dump it, man. Leave it behind. I got this. It's too much for you. And Jesus says, it's not too much for me. But you got to come to me and you got to leave it with me. I know it's tough because then you got to trust him, right? Trust him instead of who? You think it's easier to trust you? That's hilarious. You've already proven what your best efforts are going to produce. Worry. Friends, I know that life can be hard. Can y'all take that outside for me, please? Can you take that outside for me, Randy? Got it? All right. Way too many people looking, and I'd much rather you look at me. All that stuff. Look, you guys, you know, this is not a crack on anybody. Does this surprise you at all, right at this pivotal moment, that a phone would go off? Now, don't misunderstand me. This has nothing to do with the person. Nothing to do with the person. But this is what Satan does. Because he wants your attention. And right now, God's got your attention. You're trying to hang on to stuff that doesn't belong to you. That's why you're falling apart. You think an SSRI is going to help? It's not a serotonin issue. I don't believe it for a second. I'm not a medical doctor, okay? So look, if you're finding that the Prozac's working for you and it's helpful, I don't have a problem with that at all. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying dump those things. I'm just saying it's deeper than that. I can promise you. You know why? Because God says worry causes depression. See, he said that, so I already know that's true. And wouldn't it be a lot better just to walk around with this? Wouldn't that be cool? I gave you a quote last week from Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you remember it. He said, there is no difference between thinking about yourself and misery. It's true. The more time you spend thinking about yourself and how you're going to work things out, the more miserable you are. You know, I did it this week. Something happened in the middle of the week, and it has had my attention off and on ever since. Like, my goodness. So don't think that I'm standing up here saying I got it all together. I do not. But I know what the truth is, and I know you need it, and I need it too. Hey, listen, you may not agree with a single word I've said. That's okay. You get to decide what you do with your life, right? That's the really cool part about this. You get to decide what you do with your life. But if you're willing to try the drugs, would you just try Jesus once? And I don't mean add his weight. I'm not saying add his burden to the burden you already have. I'm saying dump your burden and take the burden of Jesus. Life will be so much better. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that this will be a moment that we really, really think about who you are and what you want. May we follow you in all things. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.